Hey there, you spicy tuna rolls. It's time for another episode of The Spiritual Gaze. I'm one of your hosts, Brandon.
I'm your other host, Angel.
And this is our twice monthly podcast dedicated to exploring the wide reaches of spirituality without pretending that it all makes sense.
Because it doesn't make sense, especially in an election year.
Girl, do not get me started on this election year.
Let's keep talking.
I will just say I am listening to this other podcast because every once in a while I do listen to other podcasts.
That's fine.
It's called The Run-Up. It's like brought to you by the New York Times, which is problematic. Like the New York Times is very anti-trans and not infallible, but they do some good podcasting. I mean, Serial is the New York Times, right?
Maybe.
I think it is. Anyhoodle, it's a good podcast. And as I'm dipping my toe back into like politics, not like I'm getting into politics, not yet, but you never know. I've been enjoying listening to this podcast. I don't know if enjoy is the right word, but it's helping me to take off the blinders and face the reality of the election year that we're in.
Well, that's good.
Requires a deep spiritual wellspring to face what needs to be faced.
And that's all we'll say about that.
Let's introduce ourselves.
I'm Angel Lopez. I'm a film producer and a writer and an astrologer and a teacher, group leader of metaphysical practices. And you?
I'm Brandon Alter. I'm a non-binary queer spirit healer. I am an astrologer and a tarot reader. I'm a teacher of all things metaphysical, and I'm also a writer and performer.
And you're so busy.
You're so busy. I really miss Sex and the City.
Well, it's on 40 different channels nonstop.
No, I know.
I just jump back in.
I just wish I lived in a dimension where there were always new episodes of Sex and the City.
Well, you live in an alternate dimension where there will be new episodes of Just Like That. Probably in a few months.
Okay, well.
So not the same?
It's not the same.
But not different.
No, they're like neighboring dimensions, you know?
Yeah, it's an alt dimension. Yeah. Because we are in an alt dimension of the dimension we were all born into.
Correct.
At least I believe so.
Should we check in?
Let's check in. You go first.
Oh, gosh. Rude. Well, we're preparing for the gayest week of our lives. That's at least what my acupuncturist said to me today.
Well, I had told him that yesterday, that I was about preparing to live the gayest week of my life.
Oh, well, that's how he greeted me today. He was like, are you prepared for the gayest week of your life?
Exactly.
I think he called it Gay Week. Are you prepared for Gay Week 2024? Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what, Russell, I'm not, which is why I'm here.
Exactly.
To get resourced for Gay Week. It's very Pisces season, what we're about to do, which is also why I called everybody a spicy tuna roll, because Pisces is the fish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But it's spicy because, you know, we're spicy.
It's Pisces.
So we're going to see Kylie Minogue in Las Vegas on Saturday. That's before this is actually released, but that's okay. Linear time is lame. Then Angel's going to go see Madonna in Los Angeles.
Don't you know it.
And then we're all going to go. There's like a little coterie of like six of us that are going to go and see Madonna in Palm Springs 2 days later.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what is known as the gayest week of our lives.
The gayest week ever.
So I'm just gearing up for that. And I shared a couple of weeks ago or our last podcast that I kind of felt like I was moving into a new realm post-birthday, and I still very much feel that. I've been kind of meditating on the fact that the day before my birthday, I went in for an acupuncture treatment with Russell Brown, who we did an episode with many, many moons ago, and it's still a great episode, still holds up, so I highly encourage that. But he gave me this birthday treatment that essentially connects you to the source of where your soul comes from. It's a very esoteric acupuncture practice. But I really feel like that practice, in addition to some of the spiritual healing work that I received and the solar return chart that I kind of cast for myself, has put me on a little bit of a new trajectory. And I feel myself like reaching out, for more opportunities, like trying to do some new things. It feels really good in a way. And I'm also just like trying to wield my power like the magician card would instruct us to do. And if I want my life to be different, then it means that I have to make different decisions, because I do want my life to be different. I feel like the last 4 years have been an important time for like turning inwards and integrating, and also just like surviving, like what we were dealing with as a global community, and then also like what I was dealing with just like as a person in the face of a lot of grief. But like I'm tired of that. I feel like the next step of integration is about moving out into the world and seeing if the things I've learned are actually gonna like serve me. The metaphor I'm like loosely working with is that like I had a cast on and that was important, but like if you have a cast on after the bone has healed, then it actually is like detrimental. And I feel like it's time to take the cast off of my heart and like move out into the world. So I'm gonna start volunteering at an animal shelter. I'm looking at maybe teaching some Pilates classes out in the world. I'm just, and then in true magician fashion, I'm writing. And I'm just like really just like trying to push this musical out of the birth canal, because I know that creating something, especially if it's something creative, is the easiest way to change your life. You know, like you don't have to reach outwards and change the external circumstances. You can just like change what you do and like write your life in a different direction, which is very magician energy. So that's where I'm at. That's what I'm doing.
That's a good place to be.
Yeah, it's a good place to be.
Given the places you've been.
Yeah. Yeah, when you've been in the depths, being on the ground floor seems pretty high up.
Yeah. It's a plateau.
Grateful for it.
Well, good.
Happy to be here.
Yay.
Happy to have my health, my good looks, and online shopping.
What else do you need?
Well, we won't get into it. How are you? What's going on with you?
Except maybe your love, but that's fine. I'll just be over here.
No one's falling for it, Angel.
When you need me,
everyone knows. Everyone knows you're no victim here. Everyone knows you're deeply loved.
Oh my God, I am deeply loved.
So come on.
Well, how am I? Well, I'm preparing to be even more deeply loved because we are in my birthday month now. Yours is over. Pass the baton. Here I am, world, getting ready to be celebrated nonstop. And the celebration really does begin in the gayest week of my life. So really starting Saturday. I feel like I get to start celebrating. And I too had my acupuncture session recently. And it was nice because it always feels like this. I do it every other week and it feels like this. It's almost like this check-in, you know? And for the last few months, I've gone in there like pretty depressed or just like low energy. You know, just not in like the greatest physical state. And Russell talked a lot about just being in the winter and releasing myself to the winter, you know, and I've been like in this real like hibernation mode, like wanting to isolate, wanting to just kind of cocoon a bit. And it's felt really nice and natural. But over the last week, I started to have this like tiny ache to like start to re-engage with the world again, re-engage with my creativity. Like I was like, oh, I miss people, you know, I miss connecting around my work. And so it's funny, being in acupuncture yesterday, I was explaining that to Russell and he was like, well, yeah, you're coming out of winter. Like you're waking up from your hibernation. And it was like nice to kind of think of like, oh, this sense of being in tune with the natural rhythms, you know, and in a way that was like part of like where I've been trying to be, is like trying to kind of get back in, or do my best, I should say, to get back in tune with my like just like natural self, and my natural inclinations. So it feels nice to know that I'm like maybe cycling a little bit with nature. That's, I think, my hope, my goal. So I picture myself like a bear in a cave kind of now, like
That's funny. That's how I picture you too.
It is like stretching and yawning, like, oh, all right, that was a nice nap, you know? So it's nice to know that, you know, we have some fun things coming up, and then it is my birthday. So to just kind of hopefully go into this next birthday with a sense of like reawakening and rebirth, like as my intention, feels exciting to me.
Isn't it a world year for you?
No, this is the end of my world year.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you move into...
an emperor year.
Wow. Well, that's pretty powerful.
Which is my card, being an Aries. So I guess it does feel very like suitable as a reawakening symbol for me.
Yeah, and you're also going to have the North Node conjunct your natal sun too.
I wonder when that's going to be. All right, I just quickly consulted an ephemeris. It's going to be in July. So it'll be a good burst of energy just around myself, my identity.
A lot of new beginnings, energy, opportunity to start to make some moves. And we're making some moves ourselves. I mean, you probably already know that we're doing an in-person workshop. So if you're going to be here in person, you've probably already signed up for that. But we're opening up the Wheel of the Year for the deepening season to take advantage of the spring Yay. Equinox and Aries season. And we actually had some lovely gazers who are part of the wheel just like share some words about what the wheel has meant to them. So I thought maybe I would just like read some of those things.
Oh, sweet.
Because we think what we're doing is pretty great, but I don't want you to take our words for it. It's nice to hear from people that are actually in the wheel. So one gazer said, taking courses and learning with the spiritual gaze combines their superior knowledge of the subject matter and the unbelievable blessing of learning so much more about yourself. All of this comes with a vibrant community that you can access while you learn. I could not be happier with my experiences with Brandon and Angel.
Cute.
That's so sweet. I really love that. We're like not big on self-promotion, but I have to say it really feels good when it comes through.
Yeah.
And then gazer number two said, everyone is on their own journey. This space is like a container to support the journey that people are on. Each session, we explore different modalities and tools to help us harness the spiritual power we each need to keep moving forward on our path. It's really healing to be able to create something that you know will be meaningful for you. This is the kind of space that supports you along your way. It's nice to know that you aren't journeying all alone.
Aww.
And I have to say, Angel created this really beautiful offering for our last session, which was all about playlist magic and putting a playlist together. And I am not a playlist magic person, and I was maybe a little bit of a curmudgeon around all of it. And I want to apologize because so many people in the wheel found it so amazingly meaningful. And I hope you were able to like receive it and just like trust your gut that like what you have to offer is super valuable.
Yeah, I think once I waded through all of your negative energy around it and my presence, I was able to connect to the sweetness of everyone's response.
Well, I'm so glad you were able to overcome the obstacle that is just me. And I'm so sorry that you have to live with me.
Oh, stop. yeah, no, it was nice that like people really connected to that. I thought it would be fun. And,
yeah.
Yeah. People, got it on a deeper level, which yeah, is they exactly really did. What I wanted.
Yeah, totally. So if any or all of that interests you, registration's open now. We hope to see you in the wheel, but that's it. That's the self-promotion for this episode. Now let's head into this episode's
Cosmic Update. So as this episode is releasing, Venus is shifting into Pisces, where she loves to be. She gets to be all dreamy and romantical and imaginative and spiritualish. You know, just gets to like hopefully connect with people on a deeper level.
Or possibly disassociate with people on a deeper level.
Drink a ton.
Just drift.
So, you know, ideally, the goal is to connect to the higher vibe of it. And I'd say use this opportunity to align yourself with the people who are like closer to your soul fam, you know, to really let people know on a deep level how meaningful their love and their relationship is for you.
That's really well said. And I think if we look at Venus as how we connect, and as she moves through the signs, we're getting different invitations to connect in different ways. When Venus moves into Pisces, we just connect through being, through presence, and through love, as you were talking about. We don't have to connect through our heads or shared hobbies or even like what we're learning, you know, like we just get to be with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's actually what we need more than ever, is just to learn how to be with each other and the value of that. My friend Michelle was just saying, she was like, do people just like hang out anymore? I feel like nobody just like hangs out, you know, like there always has to be like a plan. Like we're going to do this, or we're going to do that. Like whatever happened to just like, hey, like let's just hang together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I miss that. Maybe the kids do. Maybe the kids are still hanging.
Yeah. I think that might just be something you do in your 20s.
Yeah. Well,
when you have like less,
I want to keep hanging
stuff, like less responsibility.
Lame.
Well, you are trying to embody the Gen Z vibe. So that can just be more of it.
More hanging.
Yeah.
Baggy pants. Hanging.
Yeah. Just bouncing around from store to store, looking at things you can't afford to buy.
That sounds like a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. That's what they do. Then you eat some ice cream. I mean, you basically already live. You do kind of
live the
life already.
I literally went into a store with things I couldn't afford today, and then I ate ice cream. The ice cream, and then I took the ice cream into the store with the things I couldn't afford.
So you're doing it.
I'm doing it.
You are hanging.
Oh, my gosh. No, I know. I just want more of it.
Well, you can make that happen.
Well, I'm going to.
I think you're pretty good at hanging. Like, you're pretty good at being like, hey, I'm coming over to your friends.
Or, well, I mean, to Michelle, because, like, she's doing it with me. I wish I had more friends that were just like, let's just hang. My other friend, Kevin, he was always wanting to, like, run errands with friends. He was like, you know, it's so fun when you just, like, run an errand with somebody. When they're like, I have to do this. And you're like, can I just tag along? Because then it turns, like, something kind of mundane into an adventure.
Yeah, that's cute.
So maybe that's Venus in Pisces, too, is you can turn the mundane into a cosmic adventure just by going on a ride with someone.
I like that.
Go to your friend's kid's orthodontist appointment.
How fun.
Who knows who you'll meet, what you'll see.
True.
All right, what else is happening in the heavens? Sorry for that tangent.
No, it was a good tangent. It was very Piscean.
I'm very tangential today.
Well, yes, but it was also very Piscean. And we're still, you know, in the last week or so of Pisces season. And before it ends, the moon will shift into Aries. I mean, the sun will shift into Aries on the 19th. But before that happens, on the 17th, the sun and Neptune will conjunct in the most Piscean day of Pisces season, really. You know, because Neptune is that Piscean planet of imagination and dreams. Illusion and delusion.
Yeah, it's going to get super spicy tuna roll up in here.
Yeah, so you can really illuminate that in your life, you know. But I think it can be a day where, you know, you kind of can reveal some truths, or you can just kind of bask in the delusion. So I think doing what you can to be like incredibly aware that day, like start that day with some grounding. So you don't just get swept away.
What day is this?
The 17th of March.
I don't have anything scheduled.
It's a Sunday.
Well, you better believe I plan to get swept up in delusion.
Well, there you have it. but then, yeah, on the 19th, the sun will move into Aries and really marking the beginning of a new, like, well, it's like a spring equinox day as well. So, you know, the days start to get even longer. And we start to move into some time of new beginnings.
And your seasonal depression withers away.
Yeah. Unless you're in the Southern Hemisphere, then
your seasonal depression shows up at your door and says, remember me, I'm back.
You're fine. You've had enough. You're ready to go.
You're sunburnt and you're exhausted.
Exactly. So take a break. Start the break. But for us Northies, you know, we are going to start the Aries season, and we're all starting the Aries season.
Oh, yeah. You can't avoid that.
Yeah. And it is a time of initiation and really identity-based initiation. You know, I am, therefore, this is what I need to do, you know? So using some of that initial Aries time to get clear for yourself on what are the words that follow I am for you now, you know, especially looking back over just the last 12 months, the last 12 seasons are, you know, astrological seasons. What have you learned about yourself, and what are now the new clarifications for your identity? What do you want to claim?
Yeah, I am a huge negative obstacle in my husband's life.
And now we said it. And now we said it. And speaking of obstacles, Aries season does kick off with a Venus-Saturn conjunction.
Yikes.
Yeah, so Venus and Saturn conjunct at 12 degrees of Pisces. So, you know, Venus, that planet of relationships, Saturn of responsibility, of restriction, you know, can make for some challenges in relationship moments, but it can also make, make for some good refinement in relationships.
Yeah, like a Venus-Saturn conjunction is never something to look forward to, but I will say that Venus is in a sign that she thrives in, and Saturn is in a sign that they struggle in, and so Venus definitely has the upper hand here. And so she might actually be able to offer something to Saturn that bridges the gap. And this is an energy that I imagine we're going to be working with all year, because does this happen right around the Aries ingress?
Yeah.
So this is going to be featured in the equinox chart. And the chart for the spring equinox is oftentimes a tool for, you know, looking at what are the energies at play for the whole year. And so we're going to be working with this Saturn-Venus conjunction in Pisces, which is how do we take responsibility for partnering with people spiritually? How do we take responsibility for the dream? Take responsibility for other people? This is good stuff, but mm-hmm. it could be a little heavy too.
Yeah, so I think the best you can do to embrace just some soulful practices, some spiritual practices, so that you can be grounded in presence, so as not to get overwhelmed by it, to be really present to what's coming up, what's showing up for you. I think the last important thing to mention for this month is that Mars will then shift into Pisces on the next day, on the 22nd. So we get more Pisces energy. We get more intention, motivation driven by our intuition if we allow ourselves to connect from that place. Otherwise, we could get easily lost, right, in what's happening and what's going on and what's in front of us. And so, you know, use some of this time to ground that, like, Saturn connection. Use it to ground as well, so that you can stay firmly planted as you move through everything.
It's very good advice.
And then we go to New Orleans.
Well, yes. Right, I mean, I guess you can join us there if you want, but
yeah, or maybe you're in New Orleans.
Well, yeah, hey, meet
tell
up with us.
Tell us what to do.
Yeah, we're definitely going to take a ghost tour, going to take a garden tour, going to eat a beignet.
Mm-hmm, a couple.
Have a little adventure.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
So, and then it'll be my birthday, everyone.
Yeah.
So start breaking your piggy banks so you can send me money for my birthday.
My God, your Taurus rising is really relentless.
Sorry. Not sorry. All right, so that's just some astro tea for you. Hope you like it.
And now we're going to head into this episode's Deep Dive.
Splash.
All right, so we're continuing our Tarot Untucked series, on power couples.
Yes. Because if you're not listening to Tarot Untucked, you're only getting half the story.
So we are going through all 16 of the court cards, two at a time, exploring them individually and also how they're in relationship with each other. And I just want to let you all know that when we pulled the cards, we asked for the pairings that the tarot thought would be most interesting to kind of reteach these cards or maybe teach them to you for the first time, and also the order in which they should be taught. So the first four episodes are all going to have a queen, which I just think is very interesting that each and every power couple that we are going to be talking through has a queen for the first four episodes. And then the last four episodes are all going to have a knight. So we are not even going to start to talk about what knight energy is until the fifth episode of this series.
Nope.
Which is very interesting that the knight is laying in wait. But I did want to just take a moment and speak a little bit more broadly about how we look at the four different court cards and how they help us understand the suit. So last episode, Angel talked about the pages as being really present, which I think is a really good way of talking about it, that these page energies have the ability to be super present to the essence of the suit. So being present to the earth or present to the water, to the emotions, the creativity. And then the knights, when we get to them several many weeks from now, they're going to start experimenting with that energy. They've been present to it. Now they want to see where it can take them, what they can do with it, what sort of trouble they can get into with that essence energy of the suit. And after all of that experimentation, there is a greater wherewithal, a comfort and a confidence within that suit energy, and that's where the queens show up. They really know how to hold themselves firmly within that energy and wield it. But the wielding is really what the kings do, right? They're not just wanting to sit in it. They're wanting to use that energy to make great change, to externally enforce the powers that that suit expresses. And so I just wanted to kind of give everyone that sense of like, what's the trajectory of how we're moving, through things. So this episode is quite the power couple. And we're going to be talking about the King of Pentacles and the Queen of Wands. They are a royal couple from two different suit families, Pentacles and Wands, but they're very well matched. They share the element of fire. And the reason I say that is because wands, obviously, are fire, because wands compel us to action. They're spiritual, they're sexual, they're feisty and fiery. But then as far as we work with the court cards, kings have the fire energy. We relate fire to king energy because kings are pouring forth. They're wielding that energy out in the world. And that's what fire energy does, right? Like fire is not a private, hidden energy. Fire grows, you know? Like you might try to keep fire private with a candle, but what happens if that candle knocks over? Fire catches and spreads. So queens are water, kings are fire. Now, this is just one system. It's a system we like to work with. It's not the only system, but you're listening to us, so you get what we think is true. So I want to start with the Queen of Wands. So the Queen of Wands is the witch of the deck, and she has a familiar. You'll notice, especially if we're working with the Pamela Coleman Smith deck, that there is a little black cat. And there's actually a fun fact about this little black cat is that it has a name. Do you know the name of the little black cat?
I don't.
Well, the cat's name is Snuffles.
Are you being serious?
Short for Snuffy.
For real?
For real.
Oh my gosh.
So Pamela Coleman Smith, who is the goddess genius who did all of the art for this particular deck, the kind of gold standard tarot deck, was inspired by people in her life for some of these artworks that she did. And she had a very good friend, possibly lover, by the name of Edith or Edie Craig, who was the daughter of a good friend of Pamela's as well, named Ellen Terry. And they were all involved in the theater. And so Edie, or Eddie, I'm not exactly sure how it was pronounced, but her full name was Edith. She had a cat. And the cat's name was Snuffles, or Snuffy. And so Pamela, I think, took inspiration not just from the cat, but also from Lady Edith when she created this archetype. And I think, you know, Lady Edith was definitely a lesbian. She was very much a feminist. She was at the forefront of the suffragette movement in her time. She was, you know, it is well documented that she was not a straight lady. Pamela Coleman-Smith.
I was like,
yeah, where is this going?
But was she sleeping with ladies?
Pamela Coleman-Smith, we don't know. But we know that they were very close. And, you know, Pamela Coleman-Smith later in her life became kind of like a born-again Catholic and kind of like renounced the sort of like wilder passions of her youth. But I think at the time when she was creating the deck, maybe it's very possible that she and Lady Edith were having a love affair. And I bring this all up because the Queen of Wands is the only queen with her legs open.
Oh.
When you look at the Queen of Wands, she is sitting in the position that we would call manspreading. Like if you looked at some dude on the subway who had their legs wide open, you would say, oh, that dude is manspreading. And that is what the Queen of Wands is doing because her power, which is connected to her sexuality, is not going to be blocked. She's not crossing her legs or even keeping her ankles together the way a lady is supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think that there was some sort of like wink or nudge that was being expressed here between the relationship that the two of them had.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I think that's cool too, right? When you also look at her too, she is like, she's a younger queen. She has a vivaciousness to her.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. And so with the Queen of Wands, what we're working with is the energy of water and fire. And so you might think that, you know, water on fire would be quite volatile, but really what it's teaching us is how to blend opposites, how to make the impossible possible. And so the Queen of Wands is when you are seated in the comfort of your sexuality and your spirituality. It's when you allow what you feel to inform what you do. There's this connection to your body and your body as an instrument to help you understand the deeper levels of what you're feeling and thinking and wanting to be in the world. We might even think about it like when you like get a little bit of a tummy ache or when you get like goosebumps or, you know, like the psychic ways in which your body is helping to communicate to you that bypasses the mind. That's very much the Queen of Wands.
Yeah, I've always found her to be just such a, like, a badass of the tarot, you know? Like, there's such a significant amount of power that this archetype exudes, you know? And I like the animal component, too, right? Because it does give it that, like, additional, like, magical component as well, like... She's capable of making magic.
Yeah, and every witch needs a familiar.
Exactly.
That helps them do what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the only animal in the card. If we're looking at this traditional picture, there are also these lions that are flanking the throne. And what do we make of that? Astrologer Lopez.
The Leo energy.
Correct. Very much connected to Leo. And so there is this sense of like using your creativity as an expression of your natural magic.
Yeah.
All right, so I just wanted to share one of the taroscopes that I had written for the Queen of Wands. And funnily enough, this was for the sign of Leo in the time that it was written. But this is just to help everyone understand this energy. So I wrote that the Queen of Wands is a deeply sensual creature. She moves through the world highly attuned to what she feels in her own inner landscape. She trusts that her body has wisdom and insight, and she listens to it. She embraces the physical without losing her sense of the invisible. The Queen of Wands is you when you are truly alive in both worlds, the inner and the outer. Think about what you experience when you take a long hike in nature or take in a sunset. There's the outer beauty, yes, but there's also an internal response to all that beauty. The Queen of Wands receives and participates in that exchange between what is seen and what is felt. What is known and what is awakening. She is known as the witch of the deck, but don't think traditional witch imagery with the black hat and the wart on her nose. Think of a sex witch, a love witch, a naked in the woods witch. Think Marilyn Monroe, Dita Von Teese, Lana Del Rey. Cast a spell that brings you back into the fullness of yourself. You are your own cauldron. Find just the right recipe of herbs and powders and concoct a potion that wakes you back up to the sheer magic of being alive. This card is ruled by the opposing elements of fire and water. Water should extinguish fire. Fire should evaporate water, and yet somehow they coexist magically. When you embody the Queen of Wands, you are learning how to balance your emotion with your action, your inner flow with your inner spark. Think of this card as being water on fire. You can set yourself aflame, but you won't burn. Instead, you'll just keep shining.
Nice.
And because it's a queen, it's having that comfort in that energy. Mm-hmm. You know, spiritual and sexual energy can make us feel really small or embarrassed. And the Queen of Wands is the willingness to kind of like sit in it and sit with it.
Yeah. I mean, if you think of wands energy as like the energy of experiencing, what I like about the queen is that she brings with her all that she has experienced, both the challenges and the triumphs, you know, like the failures and the successes, but like isn't of any of those, you know, just like comes to the moment full of that experience and brings all of that wisdom into the next.
Yeah, totally. Feels like a choreographer.
That's a good one.
Who like kind of shows up and is like, okay, like what is like, we do this and then like, what does that lead to? You know, like,
yeah,
I'm just like willing to kind of follow.
Yeah.
What feels good in the body.
Mm-hmm.
What compels me or inspires me. And so then we have the King of Pentacles. So we go from water and fire to fire and earth. And so the King of Pentacles is a very different energy, but something they both share are the animals that are kind of flanking them on the throne. So while the queen has lions, the king has bulls. And the bulls represent the sign of Taurus, another fixed sign. So both of these have like a fixed energy to them, right? They're very secure in what they're trying to present to the world. And so this is almost like a fixed earth card. But the King of Pentacles is a compassionate figure. There is a control element, but there's also this generosity of having more than enough and being able to organize yourself and your physical reality in such a way that you're able to like take action, not just for yourself, but for the community around you.
Yeah, it feels like he uses all that he has as like a jumping off point, you know, like he's like, I have all of this and now I can take what I have and use it for good.
Yeah, for sure. Because he's in some ways like mastered what it means to be here in form. And the thing we should say about pentacles is that they are physical. They're seeds we plant or coins that we deposit in our bank accounts. But pentacles are also a symbol of witchcraft, right? It's the five-pointed star inside the sacred circle. And so there's an understanding that physical reality is an extension of the dream. And so if you are a master of ordinary reality, it's because you understand that ordinary reality is just one part of the greater puzzle. And so the King of Pentacles has a spiritual component to it. That is the fire of all of the kings. They understand the spiritual mastery that is required when you're working with an element, because let's be real, like elemental energy is quite unwieldy. You know, go and look at a mountain or a volcano or stand in the presence of the ocean and remember how powerful these elements are. There's also something really disciplined about the King of Pentacles, that no stone lays unturned. Everything is like deeply scheduled. Everything is understood, that we map out our time. If we think about pentacles as resources, obviously money, but also time and skill, and other people sometimes are our resources too. And the King of Pentacles knows how to use all of those things to bring forth whatever it is that they are wanting to have manifest and then sit in gratitude for that creation. So you are the King of Pentacles when you decide to take absolute responsibility for the life that you are living and doing some like serious adulting. In some ways, I feel like these are two very major adults of the deck. And they're different styles of adulting, you know, like the King of Pentacles is going to write you a check, you know, the Queen of Wands is going to help you understand like your own internal compass for adulting, you know, but if you don't pay the light bill, it doesn't matter like how in your body you are.
Right.
And if you do pay the light bill, it doesn't matter how much money you have if you can't experience it and enjoy it.
Just remind me I have to pay bills soon.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Girl, you need a King of Pentacles it.
I always do.
So I wonder what it would be like for the two of them to come together. And I wonder who goes to who, you know? Last episode, we knew that the Page of Swords had to go to the Queen of Cups because the Queen of Cups wasn't going to rise from the depths of the ocean. But I wonder, does the Queen of Wands go to the King? Or does the King of Pentacles go to the Queen? Because I feel like maybe they need something. They need a favor. Or they're like going on a quest. They need the fire. Like the Queen of Wands has a secret. It's almost like they are going to court her to like come to their kingdom. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the King goes to the Queen.
Yeah, I think he's been tired of sitting for so long. And he's like, if I sit any longer, I'm just going to turn to stone.
Yeah. And I think like she is like electric in her presence. So even though she is Wands energy, she doesn't necessarily have to go anywhere. She's like fine, kind of just like buzzing in her court.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know? Whereas I feel like he, you know, he's got money to burn. He needs somebody to spend it on.
So he's going to go woo her.
Yeah.
Okay. So the King of Pentacles leaves his kingdom and he goes to the fire realm and he connects with the Queen of Wands. And the Queen of Wands, as you said, is like buzzing in her kingdom. And what do you think the exchange is between them? Do you think there are even words at all or do you think they just fuck?
No, I think there are words for sure. I mean, even though there are no, isn't a swords energy, I do think he has to like give a bit of a dance.
Articulate what he's doing there.
Yeah.
I think he's come to enlist her. He needs her to inspire the people of his community because they've become a little too like logical and they've forgotten to like live and dance and enjoy. And so he needs her to kind of like cast a spell over his kingdom so that they remember life isn't just about the building blocks. It's about what happens in between them.
Right. Oh, that's cool. I like that.
But first they fuck.
Yeah, there's definitely sex involved.
And they're kind of like a couple that like really loves to be with each other, but it's not a couple that like is sustainable. Like maybe they're like the one that got away for each other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like past lives.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I mean, some of you probably didn't see past lives, but that's actually like her and the, like the, not the husband, mm-hmm. but the childhood friend. There is like kind of like a King of Pentacles, Queen of Wands quality there.
Oh my God, totally.
She's very Queen of Wands.
Yeah.
In her ability to create and follow her feelings. And he's very King of Pentacles and kind of his like rigidity.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. That's a cool lens to look at that story through.
Who do you think are like King of Pentacles people in the world?
I know, I was trying to think of it.
Like, Oprah. Oprah's very King of Pentacles.
Yes.
The wealth, sure. The abundance, the like the ownership, the like creating a network, right? Like it wasn't just enough to have a successful TV show. It was like, let me create a network. Let me create a kingdom for all of this abundance.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe like Steven Spielberg too.
He feels more King of Cups to me than King of Pentacles, but he did make a ton of money doing it. So I can see why you would say that.
Yeah, I mean, he is like the king of the blockbuster.
That is true.
So, and he created his own studio, you know, at a time when filmmakers weren't doing that yet, you know?
Like, yeah.
He was kind of the first one to kind of go out into the world. It's like, here's something I've built. Here's something I've made.
Yeah.
What about the Queen of Wands?
Well, there were a couple that were kind of like Marilyn Monroe, Dita Von Teese, Lana Del Rey. Those were some things kind of like expressed before. Like definitely creatives, you know. But I also think somebody like David Bowie is very Queen of Wands.
I even think Madonna is very Queen of Wands.
Madonna's Queen of Wands.
Mm-hmm.
Prince is kind of Queen of Wands.
Yeah.
You know, like anybody that's like electric in their own way and that's like comfortable in their sexuality, whatever that might be. Freddie Mercury.
Gaga.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She yeah. holds that court, honey.
Honey, she do.
We board a ship to Chromatica and we come to worship.
Yeah, we never get to come back. It's a one-way ticket always to Chromatica.
I haven't been back from that ball since I went.
Honey, I know.
I'm still there.
About ready to hire somebody to go in search of you. I'd like to end this with something I wrote about the King of Pentacles when I was writing the tarot scopes a little bit more poetically. And in this time of Pisces season, when things feel a little out of control, it might be nice to use the King of Pentacles energy to bring a little bit of order back into our lives when we feel like it is just slipping through our fingertips. And so here is some King of Pentacles energy for you. We cannot control anyone beyond ourselves. Not the weather, not our friends, not even our pets or houseplants. The only thing we can control is ourselves and how we spend ourselves. Time is not as slippery as we pretend. She can be shaped into a sharp sword of action. Be the master of your time. Organize each day as if you were a king, as if your whole life were a kingdom. Corral your resources into a river of possibility, and instead of letting them flow aimlessly, choose where to direct the currents. You have the power. You call the shots. Be careful not to give this preciousness away to those who will squander you and your substantial gifts. Now is not the time to ask your life what it wants of you. Now is the time to ask of yourself what you want for your life, and then make it so. Power couples.
Mm-hmm. We'll be continuing on this journey through the rest of the year. So hope you're enjoying it. And now, to keep the tarot train on the tracks, let's go into this episode's tarot card of the episode.
So just take a moment and connect to the cards by listening into the sound of them being shuffled. We're asking for just one card to give us what we need, a little insight, a little guidance, a little get up and go. It's the Five of Cups. So we have to befriend our grief. We have to acknowledge our disappointment, which makes a lot of sense in Pisces season when the feels cannot be ignored. And melancholy is a type of medicine. So I would just encourage everybody to pay attention to where you're feeling sad. Pay attention to where you're disappointed or you're grieving and go into it. It's temporary. You won't be here forever, but you have to go through it in order to learn whatever it is that it wants to teach you. There's that beautiful picture that Thich Nhat Hanh paints for us where like we invite in our feelings. We invite our sadness or our anger in for a cup of tea and we sit down with them and we pour our sadness a cup of tea and maybe even feed it a biscuit or two. And we ask them what they need to say. Because the sooner they get to express whatever's been weighing on their chest, the sooner they start to feel freer and easier and they leave. So don't run from your feelings. Run towards them. And even if they are overwhelming or you're afraid that you'll never get out from under them, just know that that truly is not the case. I speak to you from my mountain of experience with grief. It changes, it shifts. And the sooner you can befriend it and meet all of its many faces, the sooner it can become an ally that helps you have a deeper and richer understanding of what it means to be alive.
Beautiful. Just as it begins to downpour here once again in Los Angeles.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh my goddess.
I know. We're just getting lots of rain here.
She never stops.
Well, sometimes the universe, the earth has to cry along with us.
Fair enough.
But then you get to wash it away and the rainbow shows and the sky opens up and the stars appear.
The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun.
I won't take that bet because
I
already know
it'll happen. Tomorrow, I'll love you tomorrow. It's only a day away.
Thank you all so much for listening to this episode. We appreciate you. We appreciate you for checking in with us, for being in our community.
Maybe we'll see you for our in-person workshop later this month. Maybe we'll see you in the Wheel of the Year.
Would love it.
Maybe we'll just see you in our dreams.
Maybe we'll just see you in our dreams. You can find out where to find us at thespiritualgaze.com. There's a webinar section. There's a workshop session. Come and join us.
But until next time, this has been your transit through the spiritual gaze.